Professor Rupp, let me just start things off here by congratulations. Maybe, and you've heard it maybe from both folks on campus and elsewhere in the general community about taking on the new role of being the Chief of Staff to Purdue Northwest Chancellor Keehan. First, for people who are not familiar with Richard Rupp, about yourself, about your career on the campus as well, and what led you with your experiences over the years to get into this opportunity at Chancellor Keehan's insistence, I'm sure, to name you as the Chief of Staff.
Well, first off, thanks so much for inviting me into the show today. It's really great to be on and to be asked to talk about Purdue Northwest and the initiatives that we have coming in the coming years and my role that I'll be playing. Well, I have been at Purdue Northwest for about 20 years. I am a political scientist. I don't tell that to a lot of people these days. I tell my mom I wish I had done my PhD in musicology. My field's political science, and actually within that, my specialization is international relations and primarily armed conflicts, actually. My early work and research and publications focused on NATO and armed conflict in Europe and the Middle East and Russia. So that was my early work on the research side when I arrived at Purdue Northwest. I'm a native of California and San Francisco in particular, and I've been in the area for about 20 years. At a certain point in my career here at Purdue Northwest, I was appointed department head for history and political science, and so I held that position for about 7 years. Many people would say department chair or department head is one of the most challenging jobs on campus, and I still would say that when I talk to my friends who are still in the turf of being department chairs. There's a lot to manage, and it's terribly important work. And so when I stepped down as department head, one that was a very happy day to step down, and I took a short breather. But what I did is I kept my portfolio of these sort of service projects that I had developed when I was department head. I think in part being a political scientist and in the liberal arts made it more conducive for me to be involved in a lot of projects that I might not have been in, say, if I was the chair of biology or the chair of nursing. So my curiosity is pretty wide-ranging. And so over the years, I've headed up a number of projects. We've got a lot of support in Northwest Indiana for a program that I've been overseeing for about 7 years, Friday University, started as an idea, actually, by local community senior activists. They wanted us to do our bit in creating a program where local activists and seniors, not just seniors, could come to Purdue Northwest for a day of educational enrichment. And 7 years later, the program's going gangbusters. And this year we have programs ranging from a lecture that I'm going to be giving. I think we're calling it Objectivity, Rationality, and Discernment in the Age of Trump. Mm-hmm. And so we will be talking about politics in the age of Trump, but it won't all be politics. We've got a class. I'm delighted, actually. I have a biologist on campus, and she was going to I needed a class on the sciences to balance out some of my arts classes, and I called Vanessa Quinn. I said, Vanessa, I need a good science class, so just give me the title. And she came back with just one word, ballroom dancing. So it turns out in her previous life, Vanessa had been a ballroom dancing instructor. Now she's a professor of biology. So we're offering ballroom dancing this year. Anyway, that's too much on Friday University. But I've also been involved in our international programs. I'm, again, a professor of international relations, associate professor of international relations. And I've been very active in our recruitment of foreign students. When I arrived here on campus 20 years ago, it had a very different feel. We did not have dorms in those days. We did not have international students in those days. Today we have thriving dorms, which we're delighted to announce that are at 100% capacity, which that's always a great moment when the university reaches a benchmark such as that. And we have upwards of 700 to 800 international students, which we did not have years ago. So I played a rather active role over the years in our international partnerships and affiliations. And I'm very active also in what we call our freshman year experience. You know, Purdue Northwest, as you know, has a student population over the years that was two-thirds first generation. And there's a special need of first-generation college students in the spirit of becoming acclimated to the college experience. And I have been involved with so many of my colleagues, Karen Bishop Morris, Paul Hecht, just an array. I don't want this interview to be all about me, because it's just an array of people who are so singularly involved. And we have devoted a great deal of time into developing programs to really anchor the students in, because at so many universities around the country, the statistics show that a reasonably large percentage of first-generation college students, sometimes their first semester is their last semester. Mm-hmm. And so we want to do everything we can to make sure that we anchor these students in deep. One of the programs that we have this year, we've had it for quite a few years actually, is called One Book, One University. And it's a program in which the university selects one book to purchase for the entire incoming freshman class, which is over 1,000 students this year. But it's not just a here's a book. It's a very meticulously organized program in which the students are given the book, and it's incorporated into perhaps three or four of their first semester's classes. So this year's book is a glorious book called Garbology, Our Dirty Love Affair with Trash, which I'll be happy to come to a show on, and the chancellor will come to a show on. He's all the chancellor of this university is all about trash, and he has had so many conversations about the impactful nature of this study. And so what we have done with this book is that it's woven into the curriculum so that students who are taking communication, Comm 114, will do a speech on it. And students who are taking English 105 will write an essay on it. Or students taking political science with me will do a public policy project on it. And this year, with support of our new provost, Ralph Mueller, we are actually bringing the author into campus, which is a major commitment financially and time, but the author, Edward Humes, will be coming into campus. So, long answer to your question, these are some of the sorts of programs that I've been involved in over the years. I think I was, the chancellor and I worked together on a lot of these projects. And so, it was about 6 months ago, he kind of tapped me on the shoulder. I really wasn't expecting it. And he simply said, what do you think about maybe serving as my chief of staff? And we chatted, and I basically spent the last maybe 4 or 5 months over the summer shadowing him awfully closely. He's been incredibly generous with his time. You couldn't hope to have a better mentor. My learning curve has been just through the roof. It's kind of like taking a foreign language for the first time. I'm learning every day. Now, after we decided, maybe about a month ago, it was a good fit, we decided to make it official. And maybe the only, not so much regret, but the only sadness for me is we've decided I will be pretty much entirely out of the teaching business for the foreseeable future. It would be lovely to teach one class, but the chancellor's days and the university's days are just...
I would imagine, too, that probably maybe if things evolve over time that you're able to sneak a class in someplace along the way, further down the line you'll be able to do so. But for now, you have so many things as the chief of staff on the plate and working with Chancellor Keehan that it's probably better that you step away from being a political science professor.
For a bit. Yeah. Although I did talk to our department head, John Swartz. I'm going to... develop a little event called Pizza and Politics with Professor Rupp. So maybe once a month I'll buy pizza for the political science students and we can have a conversation about politics.
That'll be good. They'll miss you, but they'll get over it.
There you go.
As the job is evolving now, what do you see as your role looking, obviously, to the future of Purdue University Northwest? We're past the unification. We have both the Hammond and the Westville campuses now together as one. Things are being coordinated better now that we got working through the growing pains, I guess, of bringing two campuses together that are physically separated as much as probably electronically, I would imagine. How do you see the role as the chief of staff working with Chancellor Keehan on that to get the future planning, if it's not already underway, to get it started?
Sure. Well, as you say, the challenging and hard but important work of the merger is largely behind us. And we're very much looking towards the future. And one of the things that makes it exciting to come to the office every day is, frankly, Chancellor Keon's optimism and his drive about that future. We're not in any way thinking about a static university here. We're using the terminology, we're a 21st century university. And when he talks about it, he says, you know, what are we going to be looking like? Not next year or the year after that, but 10 years, 20 years, 30 years out. And so he's very much focused on the role that Purdue Northwest can play both for the region and the greater region, because he definitely sees the university becoming a central component of almost all societal life, if you will, in Northwest Indiana. So that means economic development, it means sustainable environment, it means educational reform, it means healthcare, it means transportation. And so that Purdue Northwest should play a key role, not just in the important job of educating young people to become good citizens and to become biologists and engineers and political scientists, I suppose, and historians, but what the university can do to play that role in driving Northwest Indiana forward. The main, a central goal of the chancellor in the immediate future is to have Purdue University Northwest designated as a metropolitan university. And we're well on the way to do that. Just a couple of comments about what that means. Currently, according to the Indiana Commission of Higher Education, Purdue Northwest is designated as a regional campus. And when you look at the legal definition of a regional campus, you would find that the focus is very different than our focus today. That a regional campus really was not going to have much of a greater role beyond being hopefully a high-quality teaching institution with some research component. Regional campuses were not conceived to really develop dorms. They were not conceived to see international students. They were not going to be major centers of research. And so when you look at Purdue Northwest now, even though ITCHE, Commission of Higher Education, designates us a regional campus, we in point of fact already are a metropolitan campus mm-hmm. like IUPUI and IPFW. Right. So at this point, we're actually... The Chancellor has already had conversations with President Daniels. They've gone very well, and we would envision having that designation soon. But the designation is just the designation. It's kind of what are we going to be doing with that designation. And that will give us, one, the opportunity to create more graduate programs, and we're very keen in the future to identify the graduate programs and the professional programs that will be particularly useful to students and returning students. Graduate students in the region. The chancellor is very keen to reach out to, again, a metropolitan region. And metropolitan in this region means Chicago. And we have our eyes set on the Chicago market. As you probably know, the state of higher education is not particularly solid right now in the state of Illinois, unfortunately, but we are going to do our bit to assist those students in Illinois who would like to have a high-quality education here.
That's an opportunity because we're so close, and there's an opportunity to be able to take advantage of that, not necessarily to Illinois' disadvantage, but because the students either side of the state line, they want an education from someplace, and they'll be happy to take a short drive if they live in Illinois, come across the state line if they're not doing it already,
right,
to come to Indiana and take advantage of what Purdue University Northwest has to offer them.
And it's going to be a shorter drive when the Congressman Visklosky's been pretty successful in company with the expansion of the South Shore. So I think, again, that's why when I talked about the chancellor looking 10 and 20 years down the road, this is how we're starting to conceive this.
Okay. In getting this job together as the chief of staff for Chancellor Keon, you've talked about the opportunity that you have to use all the experience over the years, academic as well as service to the university, to put it to good use like this. What role do you see the chancellor having to work with you? You've said he's been kind of a mentor to you as you've been getting established in this particular job. How do you see that the chancellor can help you, and you in turn can help him back here in the months ahead as you get more evolved in this position?
Well, one thought is that it strikes me that for this relationship to work well, that is to say, the chancellor of a university and a chief of staff or any any relationship like that, as far as a president and his chief of staff or her chief of staff. It strikes me that, well, the chief of staff should have some skill sets, I suppose, some organizational skill sets, speaking skill sets. But I think it's actually very important for the two individuals to have a good working rapport and a familiarity. And so that I've always had that with the chancellor, Keon. But in the last few months when I've been spending most days with him, it has just grown a great deal. So I think we both really enjoy working together. And that's rather important, that the camaraderie is there and some humor is there, and that we're starting to know how each other think. And that can be very helpful. I'm pretty sure he knows how I think more clearly than I know how he thinks, because he's a really, really deep thinker. You know, you spend a lot of time with a man, and he is, his memory is razor sharp, and mine's not. And so I frequently think, oh my stars, I think
so. Those are the advantages that one have that you pair together.
Right.
That you kind of have. One's
right.
Disadvantages can be ones.
Setting, I think one of the reasons why the chancellor wanted me in this capacity as chief of staff is that I am a faculty member, and that's very important to the chancellor. This university lives and I don't want to say lives and dies, but the faculty is absolutely essential to the university. And I've been a faculty member for a long time, and I'm also, frankly, a very happy faculty member. I think being a university professor is about the best job out there, and so. Part of my job, though, is to understand faculty views, faculty perspectives. I think the chancellor has that knowledge, of course, but I have it pretty intimately because I pretty much know everybody on campus. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully I can bring the insights or the perspectives of a faculty member. And, you know, when you're an administrator and you're a faculty member, we don't always see eye to eye. So hopefully I can play maybe some bridging in that.
Richard Rupp, thank you very much. Congratulations once again. And we hope to have many more conversations
Indeed.
Like this before representing Indiana, representing Purdue University Northwest campus here, not only in Hammond, but Westville, too. You get a chance to branch out to both,
Indeed.
And we'll have a chance to talk about them in the future. Good.
Thanks so much.